gentlemen, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, middle of the week, December the 20th, 2017, 20 minutes past the hour, and 5 days until Christmas. Oh my goodness, and tomorrow, the first day of winter, the winter solstice, the day with the fewest daylight hours. It's the holiday season for sure, folks. Do want to give you some programming notes of what's coming up here on WWGH Radio the rest of the week, and then get to our special guest, who certainly is going to put you in the Christmas spirit. Coming up next hour today on the program at 1:15, are you like me? Are you a holiday shopper who does not have your shopping done? Are you having people over Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Do you not have it together yet? Well, guess what? Next hour, we're going to be joined by somebody who can give us some helpful holiday hints. A matter of fact, she is the queen of helpful holiday hints for many years. Heloise. Heloise next hour. Tomorrow on the program, Thursday, 12:15, we'll be joined by Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, who will be sharing some holiday memories. 1:15 tomorrow, we'll have 40th Treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be along with us tomorrow in the studio sharing memories from Washington, D.C., at holiday time. And then on Friday, before we break for the big holiday at 11:15 Friday morning, we're going to be joined by Carolyn Grimes, who portrayed Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. She's the little girl in the last scene of the movie in Jimmy Stewart's arms. Carolyn Grimes, Friday morning at 11:15 a.m. What a holiday week it will be. And to kick off this three-day stint, you could not ask for anybody better. Let me tell you a little story. My first year in radio, at Christmas time, we were playing Christmas songs. Played a lot of the standards, played a lot of the carols. Got a call one day from a lady who said since her childhood there was a song that was her favorite, and could we play it on the radio? The song was I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Now, we speed up many years later, and that song was recorded 64 years ago this Christmas. At the time, it was recorded by 10-year-old Gayla Peavy. And I cannot tell you, especially at this time of the year, what a pleasure it is to now welcome a little older than 10 years old, Gayla Peavy. Gayla, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Such a pleasure to talk with you. How are the holidays this year?
Very busy. Just got back from Oklahoma City. Did a sing-along there with the Oklahoma City Zoo and the fans of the song. And when I was 10 in 1953, I got a live hippopotamus for Christmas from the people of Oklahoma, who sent in nickels and dimes and bought me a live hippopotamus. And she was presented to me, and I presented her to, donated her to the Oklahoma City Zoo. Well, this year, I got to welcome a new hippo to their zoo, and it was quite a big deal and involved the mayor and everything. It was very fun, so I just got back from that.
Oh, what a great time that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Gayla, here we are, all these many years later. Did you think at that time that this song would still be played on every radio station everywhere around the world, television?
I never dreamed the song would go on to just, you know, become a popular Christmas classic, basically. And it is played all around the world. I get calls from this Friday. I'm going to be doing an interview from Ireland. And it's just popular everywhere, but especially in the United States. Canada, it's big there, too. So who knew? At 10 years old, I never dreamed the song would just keep going.
You know, it's interesting for people listening to the program. Obviously, you're not 10 years old anymore, but boy, the voice is still there.
I still sing, not professionally, but I sing every Sunday at church. I sing solos and sing in the choir, and it's your voice goes away if you don't use it, just like anything else, and so I'm still singing.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to hear that. Tell us what your life was like prior to 10 years old. Did you want to be in show business?
Actually, I started singing professionally at the age of 8. I lived in Oklahoma. I was born and raised in Oklahoma. And at 8, I started singing regularly on television there on WKY-TV. And, you know, touring and singing with a group of musicians. And so I was, you know, a full bore professional singer by 8. And after that, I went to NBC and was a regular on the Saturday Night Review with Hoagy Carmichael. And it was after that that I got the record contract with Columbia Records. And Mitch Miller was the A&R man at the time. And he's the one that, you know, hit the ball out of the park the previous year with I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus with Jimmy Boyd, who was also on Columbia Records. And he wanted to hit another one out of the ballpark with me and brought me the little I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas song, which I thought was a really cute song. But we recorded it in New York, and we, you know, launched it on the Ed Sullivan Show, and boy, it took off like gangbusters.
Oh, it certainly did. Hoagy Carmichael, what was he like? What do you remember of him?
He was a very low-key person, kind of off camera, much the same way. Very friendly, very nice, a fatherly kind of a person. I remember him very fondly.
When this song came to you at 10 years old, what do you remember thinking when you were first given it?
Well, I really thought it was kind of an unusual Christmas song because first of all, it's kind of a march tempo, and that was interesting because I don't think there's another Christmas song anywhere that's a march. And, you know, the words were cute. In the session with Mitch Miller, we changed a couple of words and took out a line or two. There was a line about a platypus or something. It didn't sing well. And the second line in the song was supposed to be, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas, a hippopotamus is all I want, which I didn't think sang well. This didn't sing well, so we changed it to only a hippopotamus will do, which I'm glad we changed because it really is makes the song better. And then I added the hippopotamuses. That wasn't written in the song. So we made some changes on the fly in the session, and the whole thing just came together, you know, the orchestra, big orchestra, and Mitch Miller, you know, added a lot of energy. I don't know if you remember him, but he was always jumping around and had little twinkly eyes and a little goatee, and it just made it fun, and the song is fun, and I think that comes through.
Yeah, absolutely. The song is fun, and it brings back a lot of memories for people. 1953, this is the golden age of television. People are just getting televisions. There are only three stations. Ed Sullivan is one of the biggest deals, if not the biggest at that time, with Milton Berle.
Mm-hmm.
How was it, how did it come about that you were going to debut this on Ed Sullivan?
I think that, you know, I had a manager, and at the time, I think Ed Sullivan had probably seen me on the Hoagy Carmichael show, and also he had come to Oklahoma City, and he used to go around the country and do what they call Toast of the Town shows, and pull local people in for, you know, a variety show. And when he came to Oklahoma City, I sang on his Toast of the Town variety show, and we just kind of hit it off. And so when I recorded I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, he remembered me, and I think that was partly why he wanted me to debut the song on his show, on the Ed Sullivan Show.
He's an interesting guy in television history. What are your remembrances of Ed Sullivan?
Well, I didn't, you know, really hang out with him. I rehearsed with him and then did the show live. And he was very, you know, he was kind of a stoic sort of a person, but very kind and very friendly. And with his, you know, face that hardly ever moved, he actually had a real sense of humor.
When you go on television, 1953, 10 years old, Ed Sullivan, did you understand at that point the gravity of being in front of so many people?
I probably didn't get the full picture. I knew that it was a big deal because we used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show every week. I think everybody did. When that show came on, everybody turned on their TV and they were watching. So I knew that being on the Ed Sullivan Show was a big deal. In fact, my manager turned down a contract with NBC in order for me to be on the Ed Sullivan Show, because at that time, if you were under contract to NBC, you could not be on CBS or ABC. I think that has all changed since then, but that's how it was at the time. And so that's what a big deal it was to be on Ed Sullivan, that my manager canceled a year contract with NBC in order to launch the record on that show.
In 1953, we should mention, on the Billboard charts, the song peaked at number 24. After Ed Sullivan, what was it like when this became a favorite?
Well, it just, you know, became known all around the country, so I became more well-known and, you know, did more interviews and concerts and singing. So it definitely changed my life. Plus, getting a live hippo that Christmas from the state of Oklahoma was a huge thing. And as a result of that, I've been associated with zoos and hippos for 64 years, which is nice because, you know, it gives me kind of a platform to speak out on conservation and so forth. So it's the hippo song has just become my legacy, what I'm identified with, and, you know, what nicer, more fun thing, something that brings a smile to children's faces and families, and, you know, everybody from every background can have fun with that song. So it's been a good ride, and still is. It's going strong.
Absolutely. The Oklahoma City Zoo, you've mentioned that in 1953, they got you a hippo. Now, there's been some confusion over the years on, is that why the song was given to you, or did that come after the song? What exactly did happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation about that. No, I recorded the song, and it became a hit, and because of that, the zoo, the Oklahoma City Zoo, and the Oklahoma newspaper decided to start a fund, a Gayla Peavy hippo fund, and raise money to buy me a hippo. So the whole fund was because it was the song was a hit, and they, you know, spun off of that to have a fund to actually buy me a hippo. And so when kids sent in their nickels and dimes, they thought they were buying Gayla Peavy a hippo because of the hit song. And then when she was presented to me on Christmas Eve morning, you know, we made kind of a big deal about, you know, the hippo really is too big for my bathtub at home. And, you know, so I graciously donated her to the zoo where they had facilities big enough to really take care of her. And she, Matilda was her name, she lived in the Oklahoma City Zoo for 45 years, happily. And there I could visit her and people could see her. The first day she was placed in the zoo, 10,000 people showed up to see her. And it was a freezing, cold, snowy day, but they stood in line. That's what a big deal it was. So It was a fund to buy me a hippo because of the hit song.
Absolutely.
So that's the real story. You hear all kinds of information, but that's the real story.
And I should mention that the money that was raised in 1953 was $3,000. Now, the estimate in today's money would be $27,522, and that came from just kids donating money.
Right, yeah. The newspaper every day would have a little ad in it, you know, the Gala PV Hippo Fund, and it had a little circle where the kids could tape their dimes and nickels to that and send it in. So it was a lot of kids, a lot of school classes and, you know, individuals, families donated. And that was a lot of money at the time.
Oh, absolutely. When we should mention, Matilda the hippo, as you say, did die in 1998, but had a good long life.
She did, and she had 9 babies, which were shipped to other zoos, and so her legacy goes on as well.
How did the hippo get the name Matilda?
Well, she was already named when she arrived. And she had been, I believe, in the Brooklyn Zoo. And they had brought her in. She was a Nile hippo. And they had her in the Brooklyn Zoo. They brought her in as a mate for their male hippo. And they did not hit it off. Apparently, that was not a good match. And so when they found out that, you know, that that Oklahoma was looking for a hippo, they offered Matilda because she didn't get along. But in the Oklahoma City Zoo, after she had been there a few years, they brought in Norm, a male hippo, and they hit it off beautifully and had 9 babies together and had a happy life.
Tremendous. All the years that Matilda did live, it's kind of funny to ask this, but did you feel like you had a special relationship to this hippopotamus?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a special, you know, time in my life and a highlight. Meant a lot to a lot of people, and it really, Matilda, that hippo, opened so many doors for me to meet people and have, you know, interactions and connections with people that I probably never would have had otherwise. Just fans of the song, and I hear from them daily, get emails, and they love the song. It's fun, and the ongoing comment is it brings a smile to my face. My kids are cheery. We dance around to it. So, that hippo and I did have a wonderful connection.
What has been the best part of being associated with that song?
I think probably meeting so many people and making so many people happy. I think that's got to be the top of the list because it's just a wonderful feeling to just constantly hear from people of how happy that makes them at Christmas and how their kids love it, and you know that it's just a cheery, fun song that all generations, it's across the generations from toddlers to old people love the song. And what better thing could I have than that?
Was there any downside to it?
Well, not really. I can't think of a downside at all. The song, you know, has been going since 1953, and there's never really been any negativity associated with it or anything around the song. So it's very positive.
Do people give you things when you go out that are associated with hippopotamuses?
Oh, yes. I've kind of become the hippopotamus one lady or something because people do give me hippos and, you know, stuffed hippos, little figurines. I was given a hippo fountain, sort of, I guess you would call it, that sits in our little stream and it can spew water out of its mouth. Bird houses that are like, I mean, you name it, and people give me hippos of all shapes and sizes, and it's fun. I'm not really a collector, but it's a constant reminder of, you know, the connection that I have with people that love the song.
Many songs are recorded, very few stick around 64 years later. What do you think it is about that song and you performing it that holds up 64 years later?
You know, I've thought about that, and you're right. It is kind of unique that it's still the original song that you hear, because so many other songs have been covered by many other artists, and you rarely ever hear the original. But I think it's because it's just a well-written song, and the orchestra that performed it was the Norman Layden Orchestra, and Mitch Miller played the oboe in it. I mean, it was top-quality arranging and orchestration. And I think I was just the right voice at the right time, and it just all came together to make this little jewel, and it's kind of hard to reproduce that.
You have a very unique voice. I think that's one part of it, which is great. What's it like to hear it? What was it like to hear it back then?
Well, it was a thrill, and it was kind of a surprise, because people record songs constantly, and it's just really rare when one of them takes off and actually makes a hit. So that's just a unique experience, and it was just a thrill to hear it so much on the radio. And even now, 64 years later, to keep hearing it, when I go to Disneyland, it's playing out all over Disneyland, and you go into restaurants, you go wherever, you know, it's still fun for me to hear it. And when my grandkids are with me, Amy, that's you.
What do you think the song's legacy is?
I think the song's legacy is just the cheeriness of bringing a smile to people's faces at Christmas time.
People still love to hear it. After the song was recorded, what twists and turns did your life take?
Really just more performing and singing around and being, you know, interviewed and more well-known and recognized because of the song. And, of course, you know, once you're on the Ed Sullivan Show, everybody saw that. And so I just did more singing out, you know, in various venues.
64 years later, do you still like performing the song?
Actually, I do. It's fun because everybody knows all the words. And I do a sing-along every year at the Oklahoma City Zoo, as I said. Usually by Skype. This year they flew me back there in person because we were introducing a new hippo. But it's very fun because everybody, everywhere you go, sings along with you, and they know all the words, and it just makes it really fun. It's like that gives us an instant connection.
Do you have we're going to hear this, of course. Do you have a favorite part of the song?
I don't know. I think that I wouldn't say I have a favorite part. I do like the very, very intro. I like that a lot because I think that's unique. You know, just the instrumental intro, and then when I first start the song, I think that's one of the unique parts.
As I say, we are going to hear the song here momentarily. Could you sing just a little bit for us?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. That's the beginning.
That's good. And here comes the song, 1953, Gayla Peavy. Take a listen, everybody. It's a classic for sure.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. Mom says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too.
You know, Gayla, you cannot help but smile when you hear that song.
I know, that's what I hear from everybody.
And how did the hippopotamuses part come?
I added that myself, and when I did it, I looked at Mitch Miller and I said, is that okay? And he said, you know, I like it, leave it in.
It's wonderful. What is Christmas time like for you? It's got to be a special time.
Yeah, it's a special time and a busy time. But the hippopotamus song is a big part of it, because I do talk to a lot of radio stations and do interviews and so forth, so that is a part of it. But we're very family-oriented. I have three grandchildren, and we're church people. So Christmas is pretty much, for us, centered around, you know, the religious aspect of Christmas, and we go to the Christmas Eve service at church and so forth. So there's that whole part of my Christmas, which is very important to me and my family. But the fun part is the hippo